this evening to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, as we continue in the valleys of Scripture. Psalm 84. We'll read the psalm together. It's entitled "To the Chief Musician upon Gittith," a psalm for the sons of Korah. Psalm 84, the verse 1, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. The verse 6 tells us, "Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools." Tonight it is the valley of Baca that we come to. With our Bibles open, let's just unite again in prayer and seek the help and the blessing of God. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful psalm that we've read together this evening. Lord, what a blessing it is, what a challenge it is, even as we look at these verses. And O God, now as we come to consider this valley of Baca, we pray that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt help us, that thou wilt encourage us even through thy word, that thou wilt teach us from it, O God, and apply our hearts even to receive it even now, and prepare us, O God, and plant that seed of thy word deep in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Father, we pray for the infilling of the Spirit. We pray for power and for liberty in preaching this night. Glorify thy Son in our midst. Lift him high, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to ask you individually what your thoughts on life are, well, I would imagine there would be a variety of responses. And if I came with that same question at the various times of life, depending on your current circumstances, for example, if you get really good news and then I immediately come and ask you, well, what do you think of life? Then you may give a very positive response. You may give a more positive than usual response. But if I was to come and to ask you the same question just after having received bad news, then it may quite likely be a more negative response. You may highlight the difficulties, you may highlight the hardships in life, you may highlight those things that weigh upon you, that bring you down. You know, whenever I think of the times when we're on the mountaintop, I think how blessed they are, I think of how special, how cherished they are. And then I think of the valleys that we have to go through in times of life. And I think of the challenges that those particular places are. I think of how much they weigh upon a person, how much they can even come in upon a person that fills their minds and their hearts, not just even for the time in which they're in that particular valley, but even as they come out of it again, that it's still in their mind, it's still upon them, that they never forget the valley, they never forget that which they've experienced. You know, this particular psalm that we've read together, Psalm 84, it's penned by an individual who cannot go to Jerusalem anymore. Three times in a year, yea, there were three set times that the Israelites had to make those pilgrimage, had to make those journeys to come to Jerusalem to meet together as God's people. to observe the feasts that were set down in the law of God. The feast especially that they came to observe was the feast of the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the feast of the Tabernacles. And these were special times. These were times when Jerusalem was filled to overflowing. But whoever this individual is, this individual now can no longer go. We don't know why he can't go. We don't know what has come upon him, whether it be simply old age, whether it be an infirmity, an illness, whether it be a case that some other providence has come in his life that he cannot attend as he once did. But we know his attendance is impossible. You see the impact that it has upon him. Because this man, he longs to be there. He longs for Jerusalem. He longs to go to the temple. He longs to be with God's people. And you can see it's breaking his heart. As he considers where he should be, as he considers everyone that's going there, as he considers the fact, I'm stuck at home. It breaks him almost to the point where it's just coming in upon him in such a flood. You see that in verse 2. He says, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Every part of his being, his mind, his heart, yea, his soul, everything's upon the fact, I can't go. I can't be there. You know, sadly, there are very few Christians with that kind of mindset. It doesn't bother some people when they miss. Doesn't annoy them in the slightest if they only come every so often. Doesn't even bother some how much they miss. Some individuals, it may be a case of, well, I can take or leave it. This man missed this one feast. This one opportunity to be in the temple, to be with the children of God. He's devastated. He acknowledges the joy that there is in being in God's house because he says in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising you. He's thinking about that time. He acknowledges it's now the time of the feast. And he thinks there's all the people. They're in God's house. They're in the temple. And they're still praising. They haven't went home yet. His whole mind has just, he's looking at every part of the day and he's saying, well, at this point in the day, they'll be assembling together. At this point in the day, they'll be singing. At this point in the day, they'll be reading. And it's just filling his mind. He meditates and he longs for it so much that not only does he think about the time in the temple, but he even thinks about the journey to get to it. As he is there at home and everyone has left, he's picturing in his mind and he can see the journey, he can see the road that he had to take simply to get to Jerusalem. Because he comes to the verse 5, or the verse 6, and he says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. You see, the road to get to Jerusalem went through the valley of Baca. For any individual to come to the temple to observe the feast in Jerusalem, the journey, the road, the sat-nav, as it were, would say, you're going this way. And it took them down into the valley of Baca to bring the men up to Zion, to bring them up to Jerusalem. You couldn't get to Jerusalem without, first of all, going through this valley. And as I thought of Baca, as I thought of this valley of Baca, and I thought of where it took them to, I thought of the obvious parallel that there is for the child of God. We're all on that journey. We're all traveling to our heavenly Jerusalem, to the Zion. And we're longing to get there, but each one of us to get to our spiritual home, to get to that home in heaven with the Lord, there must be the traveling through the valley of Baca. But always remember, you pass through the valleys. You don't stay in them. That's what it says in the verse number 6. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca, no one traveling to Jerusalem came to Baca and stayed there. So that is with the valleys in our life, those dark trialing times and those dark hardships in our life. We come into them, but we pass through them. You don't stay in the valley of the shadow of death. you walk through it. You don't stay in the valley of Baca, you pass through it. But even in the midst of the valleys, there are blessings. There is grace. There's mercy to be found. And I want to highlight it to you this evening, even through this valley of Baca. I want us to look at it together and to think even of what we can experience in that valley. I want to consider the grace that is there for us to enjoy. Because two things I'll leave with you. First of all, what you find there in the valley of Baca. Because it says, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. The Hebrew word Baca literally means weeping. It means tears. And so whenever you're talking about the valley of Baca, you can literally say, who passing through the valley of weeping, who passing through the valley of tears. And so in the spiritual Christian language, the valley of Baca is a name for the difficult and the trying, the painful times in your life. And yet in that valley, there were blessings. It almost sounds contradictory. You're talking about a valley of tears. You're talking about the valley of weeping. And yet there's blessings. Very similar to the literal experience of the Jewish pilgrim heading to the feasts. The Jews were heading to Jerusalem. Their eyes were upon Jerusalem. They're thinking to themselves, can't wait to get to the city. Can't wait to experience it. Can't wait to be in the temple. Can't wait to have the feast and the fellowship together. Can't wait to get to God's house. And yet instead, as their eyes are up upon Jerusalem and the mount, yet they're heading down into the valley. And they're brought down into Baca. Before they can ever go up, they must go down. In that valley of Baca, there were two types of blessing waiting for them. There was refuge. There was restoration. The refuge for them in the valley of Baca. You see, geographically and historically, the valley of Baca was full of mulberry trees. Or some would call them balsam trees. And so they would come down into that valley, and these balsam trees thrived in the dry and the barren conditions. They didn't want a well-irrigated place. They didn't want somewhere with lots of greenery. They grew in an area in Israel where there was barrenness, and they thrived in that barrenness. And so you picture a weary pilgrim. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's traveling in the heat, the humidity. They come down into the valley, and there's a whole forest, as it were, of mulberry trees. There's all of the shade waiting for them. There's all of the branches, there's all of those tree trunks to simply lie up against, to bring their animals in below. There's all of that shelter from the heat and all of the humidity and all of that that there is. There's every individual can come below a tree and can have a rest. A place to revive one's spirits. Every individual struggling to keep going. Individuals feeling their weakness, looking before them and thinking, look how far I still have to go. Look at the height that I now have to climb to get out of this valley to get to Jerusalem. And yet they've come down into the valley, and there's the trees waiting for them that they can just park up, as it were, and just find that refuge. What a picture that is of Christ. Our Savior, our strength, yea, our shelter. Many scriptures can we not turn to and so easily find, and we'll just keep it within the book of Psalms, but all of them point us to the fact that for the believer, the Lord is our shelter. Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 71, 3, be thou my strong habitation, where I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Psalm 31, verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Each one of those verses, what are they pointing to? They're pointing to the fact that there's a refuge. There's a place to run to in the times of trouble. just as these pilgrims could find the trees waiting for them with the branches to go under. So the child of God finds the Lord Jesus Christ with those wings of protection over them to conceal them, to cover them, yea, to keep them. Oh, what a God it is that we have in heaven, one whose everlasting arms are round about his people. Have an eternal God as a dwelling place. Believer, that's the reality for each one of us in those times when it's the difficult and the painful valleys to go through. There's the Lord Jesus Christ to shelter under. There's the one that we can run to. There's the high tower himself, the strong tower that we run into and are safe. It's refuge, but it's also restoration. Because we see there that in the verse number 6, it tells us that the rain also filleth the pools. Journey to Jerusalem would certainly tire an individual. Walking day after day through that heat and the dryness. And for many individuals, Baca became an overnight stop. They would come down into the valley of Baca, they would find the trees, and they would say, right, we'll stay here for the eventide. We'll rest here, we'll make camp for the night. And they would come to the shelter of the trees, and they would set up that camp. They would have their food for the evening, they would lie down, have a sleep. They'd wake up in the morning, there were pools of water just waiting for them. The pools weren't there at night time. But overnight, the Lord in his grace filled them. Remember I said earlier, back is a barren place. The trees that were there, those balsam trees, they thrived in the barren place. And yet there in that barrenness, the Lord sent water. Give them pools. They'd wake up in the morning, there's fresh water to drink. Fresh water to bathe in. To refresh themselves. You see, child of God, even in the valleys, even in the painful, troubling times of life, the Lord leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. You think of those pilgrims, they went down into that valley. All they're wanting to do, I want to get to Jerusalem. Every their water bottles, they've drank every bit throughout the heat of the day. And they wake up the next morning and there's the Lord just has the water refreshing. So often, child of God, we're pessimists. Sometimes I think everybody in Northern Ireland's a pessimist. Everybody in Britain's a pessimist. Especially if you listen more and more to the news, everyone becomes a pessimist. But in the Christian life, there are times we're pessimists. We look at the negatives. We fixate on the negatives. We only think about the negatives. We only think of the barrenness, the difficulties. We miss the blessings. You see, a pilgrim who was aware of their surroundings could say, yes, I'm going down into the valley. Yes, it's barren, I'm tired, I'm weary, but then they can look and they can appreciate there's trees for me to shelter under. They can wake up the next morning, they can look and say, there's a pool for me to drink from. There's a pool for me to bathe in. There's a pool for me to be restored, to refresh myself. They're still in the barrenness of the valley. But now they're appreciating what God's given to them. Child of God, never miss the grace and the mercy of God, even in the hard times. When you're going through those times of trouble, those dark, painful valleys, never simply just fixate upon the pain without looking for the hand of the Savior. The Lord has blessings, mercy, and grace in every situation for you. We hymn says it so well, doesn't it? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. We'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. You look back in those times in your life, maybe it was whenever you received awful news. Maybe it was a loss of an individual. Maybe it was sickness. You look back and you say, the Lord did this. The Lord helped me here. Yes, the pain was still real. But so was the Lord. In the valley of Baca, they found blessings. They found refuge. They found restoration. But then secondly and finally, not only what they found, but then what they left. Because verse 6, it tells us, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. You see, in these valleys, it isn't completely about what you experience, endure, or enjoy. It's also about what you leave behind. What your mark is from being there. Not just receiving, but also giving. At some point in the valley of Baca, someone came through it, someone stayed in it, someone dug a well and left it for everyone else. Someone endured what everyone had to endure. Someone came down into that valley and they were on their way to Jerusalem, and because of what they found, they stayed and they dug a well. Just as Isaac had dug the wells in the valley of Gerar, yea, even redug those which Abraham had previously opened, so that anyone now coming to the valley of Gerar could have water to drink from. It's the same with the valley of Baca. There's someone came and they left a mark. They left a well that everyone could say, there's water, there's a testimony. But in reality, that's what the well was here. The well was a testimony of God's grace. Someone somewhere experienced God's grace to the point where they said, I must leave a mark. I must leave something to show that God is so good. So often in Israel times, of course, it was a raising up. They'd raise up a stone. Samuel raised up the stone. He called it Ebenezer, hitherto if the Lord helped us. When the Israelites were brought across the River Jordan, 12 stones were raised up as a memorial, one for every tribe. The Lord brought us across. Here was a testimony. They didn't put up a great stone, they dug down a great well. That was a testimony. That was someone who came into the valley weary, worn and sad. Experience for themselves the blessing of refuge and restoration. They had to testify, the Lord hath done great things. Whereof we are glad. Oh, my friend, testify of God's grace. His grace is sufficient. We're going to be looking at it this Sunday night in the will of the Lord. Paul witnessing for Christ. Here was a witness in the valley of Baca. Someone dug the well. Someone left the testimony. Someone made the witness of the grace, the mercy, the blessings of God. Now I'm reminded afresh of Job. He had a valley of Baca. He had a place of great trials, great hardship. He lost everything. His family. His farm. His fortune. Difficult, painful time. And yet in his valley of Baca, he made a well. He raised a testimony. For he declared, the Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was his well that he left for everyone coming behind him. I remember an elder in our Bullamoney Church. Some of you may know him. He's passed and went to be with the Lord, John Curry. John Curry used to do photography. Photographer in Bullamoney, but any time they needed a picture at the college or anything like that, they phoned John Curry. He came and did the pictures. John Curry was over 6 foot tall. He was a beanpole. He lived at one end of Ulamone and he walked down to his shop. He walked everywhere. And when he walked, there were massive long strides. He walked. Extremely fit man. Went to hospital for some tests. In hospital, they told him you've stage 4 cancer. You've only a few months to live. Told him in the ward where he was, and the ward was 5 other beds. And everyone in the ward knew the news that he had just received. That was his Valley of Baca. When the doctor left, he simply reached over on his little table beside the bed, lifted over his Bible, just opened it up. And they said to him, the other patients, they said to him, "How do you feel? I'm so sorry for you." He just raised the testimony, opened the scriptures, he read to the men that were in that hospital wing. He just said, "I'm in the Lord's hands." That was his Baca. But there was his well. I remember as well, it's just coming to me, Reverend Wesley Graham. And he received the news and the brain tumor. He gave testimony. There was his Baca. He had his brain tumor. He wasn't going to recover from it. Do you know what he said? He says, "The Lord loves me. And because him that the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." He says, "The Lord loves me. That's why I have this." There was his Baca. But there was his well. You see, there are always others who come through the Valley of Baca. There may be times when you have to revisit Baca in your life. You've maybe in the past come through valleys of trouble, valleys of trial. You've had times in previous when you've experienced the pain. There may be future journeys into that valley to come. How wonderful it is whenever you'll come into that valley and there's your well of testimony from before. The Lord never failed me then. The Lord's not going to fail me now. Well, child of God, may we each leave those wells. Those testimonies that we can say, "I have Christ. I have His mercy. I have His grace. I have His love. I have His compassion. All I have is Christ. That's all I need. That's all I needed then. That's all I need now." Back is there to pass through. What about your well? The Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening.